We were recently invited to a healing and deliverance rally up in Raleigh, North Carolina. It was sponsored by the Mission Prayer Network, folks that get on the phone together every day and pray. This is the second part of the series on spiritual gifts. So what are some of the other gifts here? Gift of prophecy. This can be a very misused gift because people will say, "Thus saith the Lord," when it's really just them wanting to make sure they get their way sometimes. I think we need to be very careful about it. It's okay. Listen, we're all human beings. We're all learning to operate in these gifts, and none of us will ever operate in the gifts perfectly. That means we have to practice. We have to give ourselves a chance to fail as well as a chance to succeed. That means when somebody around us operates in a gift or feels like they're operating in a gift and it's not exactly right, instead of just telling, "Oh, well, you really missed it. You're just not spiritual," and kick them to the curb, we need to encourage them. "You know, I think you missed it on that one." But that's okay. God loves us. Let's try again. Let's listen and see what else the Lord may say. Sometimes folks will say, "Well, the way to tell if it's really a word from the Lord is that other people will have exactly that same word." Well, that's not true. And sometimes it is. Sometimes the Lord confirms things that way. We were in a meeting last weekend, as a matter of fact, and I had our grandchildren with us, and the 9-year-old boy was getting a little bored, and I asked him, "Are you tired?" "No, no, I'm just bored." And I said, "Well, you never know. Maybe God is going to have a word for you in this meeting." "Well, yeah." As soon as he said, "Oh, yeah," the bishop, who is teaching at the time, looks over at him and says, "What's your name, son?" He gives Aiden his name. "Aiden, the Lord says," and the Lord had a word for him. Well, that was confirmed by what I just told him. So sometimes there are confirmations, but because we're working together and it's working through human beings, sometimes the way you hear the word is different than the way you hear it or the way you hear it. Or what's really wonderful, what I really like when ministering with Debbie and I, is sometimes I'll have a part of what God wants, she'll have the other part of what God wants, and it doesn't make sense until you put both of them together. I had a word for a lady one time, so this I guess would have been a prophecy because it came as the Lord says, that he really appreciates your willingness to just plod along and do things, sometimes the same thing over and over again until you reach your goal. He appreciates that. And she looks at me like, "Huh? What?" So Debbie says, "Like the tortoise and the hare." And this girl goes, "Oh, yeah, I remember that story. That was one of my favorite stories, and I always wanted to be the tortoise." But it didn't mean anything to her before because I was saying, "Well, Lord appreciates the fact that you're consistent and that you plod along," and, you know, she didn't get it. So it took both of us working together. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, that's the way it ought to be. That's why I really like the idea of when we minister to folks, let's minister to them two or three at a time. That way, among other things, the Lord has a chance to say things through one person that maybe somebody else couldn't hear, that the person you're ministering to needs. But the other thing that's really great to me about it is that when you lay hands on a person and they get healed, and there were three people praying for them, nobody knows who the gift of healing worked through. Y'all just have to say, "Woo, we just praise God." Nobody can say, "Well, you know, I'm the healer anyway," and, you know, you can't do that. Okay, prophecy. Another is distinguishing of spirits. Some translations call this discerning of spirits, and I'll give you my theory about what it is. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit that helps you understand if an evil spirit is in operation, or the Spirit of God is in operation, or it's just a human spirit that's in operation. And sometimes it can be any of those three things. We've gotten phone calls from folks that are having difficulty sleeping. They're being tormented by bad dreams. Well, sometimes this gift begins to operate and says, "You know what? Don't eat pizza right before you go to bed, and your dreams will be okay." And sure enough, they quit eating pizza right before they go to bed, and the bad dreams go away. Sometimes, though, the Holy Spirit says, "Well, you're being tormented by an evil spirit, and we need to take authority over that evil spirit and make it leave you alone." And we do that, and sure enough, then they're able to sleep. We've had folks that call that, I mean, we're truly being tormented with physical manifestations from demons and demonic spirits. The Lord says it is an evil spirit. This is the kind of evil spirit it is, and this is how you need to deal with it. That's what that gift is all about, is helping you understand how to deal in deliverance. We'll talk a little bit more about that this evening. The last two gifts to talk about are tongues and interpretation of tongues, and I want to try to give you an overview. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, the disciples get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak in tongues. Later, there's another infilling in Acts 4, and again, they speak in tongues. There are several times when they pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit, and either it says in the Word there in the book of Acts that they spoke in tongues, or it implies that that's what happened. Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 14, I praise God that I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. And then in that very last verse, he said, don't forbid speaking in tongues. I believe there are two kinds of operations or manifestations of this gift. One is private, and some people call that their prayer language. English from heaven, okay, that's a good one. I've heard people call it heavenese because it's like speaking in tongues of men and angels. That's more about when it's just the Holy Spirit praying through you, and really the only person that's really listening is God. Now, you may be praying out loud, but you're not praying so that others can hear you. The other use of this gift is the public use of tongues, which then goes along with the very next gift, which is interpretation of tongues. That means that you give a message in tongues that's usually fairly loud. Everybody in the church can hear it. And then someone, either you or someone else in the church, has the interpretation. Not the translation, but the interpretation for that message. And it usually comes across a lot like prophecy. It's like prophecy that was preceded by a message in tongues. Now, one of the things that Paul said about speaking in tongues was that he enjoyed speaking in tongues because it built him up. He said, those who speak in tongues, it edifies them, it lifts them up, it builds them up. I speak in tongues often. Many times every day. Matter of fact, there are lots of folks that I pray over, and one of my prayers is, Lord, bring them to a place today where they will speak in tongues and they'll let your gifts flow through them. I feel better when I pray in tongues. It's important to pray in tongues. I'm going to say something controversial here that some may throw rocks at me and some may not. We're talking about spiritual gifts being in operation. And I believe that for those spiritual gifts to really flow through us, we really need to be filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that has to be the case or spiritual gifts cannot flow through you. That's not true. I've known many anointed people that spiritual gifts flow through them. But my experience has been once someone is baptized in the Holy Spirit or Spirit-filled, it's like those gifts flow through them much more freely and much more often. And the other thing is I've heard people say, well, if you haven't spoken in tongues yet, then you're not Spirit-filled. And then there are other people that say, well, no, that's not necessarily true. It could be either way. My experience is that those folks that speak in tongues, there's just something different about how spiritual gifts operate through them. And if you haven't spoken in tongues, let me encourage you. Paul said, earnestly seek gifts, right? Okay. Seek the gifts to the point that you can get to the place where you can begin to speak in tongues and do that on a regular basis. So that's my 2 cents worth on that. Okay. So you didn't throw rocks at me. That's good. Okay, now, I want to talk about interpretation of tongues in a kind of a different way. And I want to then go from there to dreams and visions, because in a way, they're all very similar. A dream and a vision is really just a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a prophecy, something like that. It just comes more in the form of a picture. And if you're asleep when you get that picture, it's a dream. And if you're awake when you get that picture, it's a vision. Now, I know that's kind of oversimplifying things some, but sometimes we get so wrapped up in our spiritual building theories that we make it so complicated nobody understands it. Interpretation of tongues, I have had interpretation of tongues come to me as words, a string of words. Sometimes it's been a situation where the Lord gives me 2 words or 3 words, and it's like he says, okay, let's see if you're willing to say those 3 words, and then if you are, I'll give you more. Of course, you have to have the courage to believe that he's going to give you the more, but you say those 2 or 3, and then all of a sudden the rest of it comes. There have been other times when all of it comes at one time. There have been times when it comes as a vision instead. One time, Debbie and I were praying. We had a very difficult situation that we were facing. I'd lost my job, and we were living in a house that someone had let us live in for free. We were about to have to move out of it. We didn't have any money. I mean, it was really a dark time in our lives. And we were praying together, and as we prayed, there was a message in tongues. And I don't remember if Debbie gave it or I gave it, but immediately I began to have a vision, which was the interpretation of that tongue. So it was like I was watching a very stormy, thunderstormy night, and I was standing in complete darkness, and all of a sudden there was a flash of lightning, and I could see that there were these stepping stones all around me, but the stones were about 10 feet high. And so you had to be very careful. If you didn't step on the very next stone, you were going to fall down into this pit. And the only time you could see where to take the next step was when that flash of lightning went. And you'd see the flash of lightning and go, oh, okay, I can step there. And then you're like this in the dark, just waiting for the next bit of lightning to come. Oh, okay, here's the next one. What the Lord was telling us is, that's how I'm going to get you out of this, but it's going to be one step at a time. You're not going to see how to get out. All you can do is watch and wait, and then when you see a step, take that one step. And he did. That's exactly what he did, man. He eventually got us out of there. It was great. But that was an interpretation of tongues that came as a vision, you see. When we were praying for this lady with COPD, the Lord gave me a vision of something that was going on in her life. And I was able to describe that picture to her, and it really meant something to her. That's the way these things are supposed to work, is the Lord gives us visions, and sometimes we'll get a vision. I remember one time we were praying for somebody, and somebody in the prayer team had a vision of a bicycle, and that was all they had. And so they said, well, I don't know what this means, but I saw a bicycle. And boy, all of a sudden, the person we were praying for just, oh, yeah, I know exactly what that means. And I mean, God was able, it was like floodgates opened up for them. Sometimes the Lord gives us visions in more in the form of dreams. The other night, the Lord disturbed my sleep in a dream about a woman that a friend of ours, actually a member of our church, he had a warning for her that if she didn't change some things that she was doing related to money, that she was going to be in financial trouble. So a couple of days later, I had a chance to tell her about this. Let me just tell you the dream that I had, and then you can decide if that's really from the Lord or not. And, you know, her head's down as I'm telling you, yes, yes, that's exactly right. And, yeah, I quit budgeting, and I've quit tithing, and I know I need to. And, well, there's no way for me to know that on my own. It just came as a dream. Now, there's some people that believe that every dream you have comes either from the devil or from God. I just don't think that's true. It's just a normal part of life to dream. And so every dream we have is not a spiritual gift in operation. But usually, if it is this spiritual gift of dreaming, you'll know it. The dream will be usually fairly short. It's very vivid. It's very clear. You don't have to struggle to remember it. And it's not one of, you know how normal dreams are, where you're wearing an orange dress one minute, and then the next minute you're flying an airplane, and then the next scene you're bowling, and I mean, you know, they just go on. Spiritual dreams usually aren't like that. They're coherent, they make sense, and you usually know when you wake up. That's a dream from the Lord. If you don't know what that spiritual dream means, normally when we get a spiritual dream, it's obvious what it means. If you don't know what it means, I'll tell you my theory on this. I think that is God challenging you to seek Him and to seek His face. God's not challenging you to call Sister Grace or Pastor Jane and get them to tell you what the dream means. Now, I do believe that there are times that unbelievers receive spiritual dreams and they don't know what they mean. And that's time for us believers then to allow the gift of interpretation of dreams to operate through us, just like it did with Joseph. That's just a spiritual gift, interpretation of dreams. You don't learn how to interpret dreams. You just let the Holy Spirit move through you at the time, and He gives you the interpretation, and then you go on from there. At least that's how I look at it. Okay, now let me tell you about a couple more gifts. I'm not going to read the scriptures on them, but they're gifts related to prayer. Paul talks about praying in all supplication, all prayer. We see folks praying in intercessory prayer. I believe that there are spiritual gifts that help us pray. In intercessory prayer, for instance, I know most of the prayer line folks have been called to be intercessory prayer warriors. I mean, that's part of your calling in life. Part of the anointing that goes with that is that the Lord says, I may interrupt you at any time in life to get you to pray for something, and you may or may not know who or what it is you're praying about at the time. Yeah, you happened last night, okay. And so sometimes we get that urge to pray, that burden to pray, some have called it, and we have no idea what it's about, and so we just pray in the Spirit. That's a wonderful time to pray in tongues. I'm telling you, praying in tongues is always praying a perfect prayer, because it's the Holy Spirit praying through us. Obviously, He knows what the will of the Father is, and so He's going to pray that through us. When I don't know how to pray, man, I just pray in the Spirit, and I know God's going to take care of that. But there are times when the Lord wants us to know how to pray. And so especially, again, with intercessors or with someone who needs to intercede for someone else, maybe you're not called to be an intercessor all the time, but we all have to pray intercessory prayers for folks at times. And so the Lord will show us how to pray. And it will be a word of knowledge, or it'll be a word of wisdom, or it will be a special prayer for them. It's not uncommon for me to start to pray for someone, and I'll say, well, look, I don't know anything else. All I know is the Lord has given me this prayer for you. And as I start praying that prayer, that's exactly what they need. Well, that's that spiritual gift. That's not me going, well, you know, I'm such a good prayer. I know how to put these things together. It's about me listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit drops a prayer in my mind, and I pray that prayer specifically for them. My mother, it was not uncommon at all for God to use her with intercessory prayers, and a lot of times she would see a vision or a picture of what the Lord wanted her to pray for. One time she saw a picture of fire, and come to find out, my brother and some friends of his were down in a little cabin on the river. They were going to fish and spend the night, and that cabin caught on fire, and they had to jump out the windows. Well, my mother got that vision of fire and my brother right before that fire happened. When my brother comes home, it's funny, my brother comes home and mother says, so, how was the cabin there at the river? She said, he was just real quiet. Oh, it was fine, it was fine. He was heading off toward his room. She says, now come back here. Tell me about what happened. Oh, we're okay, we're okay. No. Tell me about the fire. And his eyes got real big and his mouth fell open, you know. How did you know? Well, by then he should have known how she knows. It's because the Holy Spirit told her. And it was leading her in how to pray. I'm telling you this, we concentrate on the 9 gifts that I started with. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, healing, etc. But there are all these other gifts of the Holy Spirit. If we'll just allow the Holy Spirit to move through us, we'll just understand that's how he wants to move. I was talking to a guy the other day. He said, well, yeah, that's okay for you people that hear from the Lord really well, but what about us that are tone deaf? And I said, listen, God talks to all of us. Some of us are more hard of hearing than others, but God is talking to all of us, and he wants to use all of us. And you just got to put yourself out there and give God a chance to move through you. We recently went to a school of prophets with Kathakas and Debbie and I and another lady. And at that school, y'all were challenged to look for opportunities for the Holy Spirit to move through you, right? And to say, well, maybe what I'm thinking isn't just my own thinking. Maybe that really is the Holy Spirit. And so you have to be intentional about this. You have to look for it and give the Lord a chance to move. Yes?
When it says love never fails, but where they
and where their tongues, they will be done away with. Well, I'll tell you what I think that means. Now, there are 2 or 3 different schools of thought in Christianity about what that means, and some are kind of unusual. But I think that there will come a time when the Lord comes back, when we are with him for eternity, there's not going to be any need for prophecy. See, there's not going to be any need for tongues. Because, see, right now the problem is that the Lord wants to have this very close, very intimate relationship with us. But we're stuck in these bodies that are frail. We don't hear spiritually very well. We don't see spiritually very well at all. There's some real limitations. I believe at some point we're going to get new bodies. And these new bodies will be very much in tune with the spirit world. At that point, we won't need those things. That's what I think that means. Anybody else have any questions before we do something? We're going to do something that's a little different. Any questions, thoughts?
I just admire the way you operate, you and your wife, in a spiritual gift.
That's probably a spiritual gifted operation that you would even ask, okay? I'm going to give you the real quick version. Yeah, it has to be the quick version. So I'm going to this Sunday school class in a non-spirit-filled church because that's where all the young women are. Debbie wasn't really serving the Lord at the time. And so her mother flies out to the city we were in, says, I'm taking you to church Sunday morning. She says, okay. Drops her off at the Sunday school class. And in the middle of the Sunday school class, the teacher asked her something, and she said something. And I said, now, Lord, why can't you find somebody like that for me to marry? I didn't think much else about it until the end of the Sunday school class, and I asked her if I could take her out to dinner. She thought I was some official with the Sunday school, see, just getting to know the new kids. So she goes, sure, coffee, whatever it is. So that Friday, as she's getting ready, she realizes, uh-oh,
This is a date. Oh, man. This is one of these goody two-shoe guys. She'd been smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, so she takes the cigarettes out of her purse, didn't smoke for a while so she wouldn't smell like smoke. Matter of fact, as we're eating dinner, she says, "So what do you think about girls that smoke?" I said, "Man, it's like licking an ashtray. Why date a girl that smokes when you can date two that don't?" Now, her voice was real raspy, and she had a cough. Doctor had told her she was going to lose her voice if she didn't quit smoking. I'm taking her back to her place after dinner, and I asked her as we were driving in the car, I said, "Would you mind if I prayed for your cold?" And she said, "Well, I guess." She'd never had anybody pray for her. And I just reached over and took her hand as I'm driving and prayed a very short prayer for her. Now, if Debbie was telling this story, she would tell you that as I started praying for her, she felt this warmth start moving up her arm, and she thought, "Wow, that's the weirdest turn on I've ever had. What's going on here?" See, I thought she was this good Sunday school Christian girl, right? Anyway, I prayed, "Lord, I go right to the source of this coal and curse it in the name of Jesus and command that she be set free." That was about it. Dropped her off, asked her if she'd like to go out again the next Friday, and she reluctantly agreed. And so the next Friday, she's getting ready for me to pick her up. And she's, I don't know, putting makeup on or something. And her roommate says, "Hey, I'm out of cigarettes. Can you give me one?" And she starts digging through her purse, and she realizes, I never put the cigarettes back in my purse. I haven't had a cigarette all week. I haven't had a drink all week. I haven't cursed all week. Something's going on. Well, she still wasn't sure. But I can tell you that after our third date, again, a spiritual gift began to operate in her. Now, she wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit at that time. And she didn't know that I had told the Lord I wasn't interested in marrying anybody that wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. But this spiritual gift of prophecy through poetry began to work through her. And so she started writing this poem out. And among other things, it said that I am her husband. So she calls me and says, "Now, I know this is going to sound forward, but I want to read this to you." And, you know, you get to that part. She's wondering what I'm going to think. Well, that day the Lord had spoken to me that she's supposed to be my wife. And so after 3 dates, we knew that we were supposed to get married. Now, there was a time in there where the Lord, word of knowledge was coming, and the Lord was revealing things to me about her and about her past. And I would ask her about them, and she would, you know, tell me about it. She thought I had hired an investigator to find out about her. But it wasn't. It was just the Lord preparing me to be willing to marry this woman. I had to understand some things. Now, it wasn't long after that until we went to a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting, and she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it's just been this kind of rocket ride ever since. I mean, we just celebrated our 40th year of marriage, and we have had lots of fun in the Holy Spirit the whole time.
Well, I don't know about the fun part when we were first married.
We're both opposites, and we're both hard-headed and stubborn, okay? And the Lord has put us together, among other things, to help us learn not to be like that. So, and it was painful getting there, but well worth it for sure, I can tell you.
Can you operate with the gifts of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, and that's what I was just saying. Can you operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit? And the answer is yes.
Yes, I'm
right.
It was telling me what I was
going to do. I wish I could tell you. I'd like to make it all nice, neat. But it's just not like that with the Lord. And some things we just don't understand, and we just have to chalk it up to a mystery. I can't tell you I understand exactly. But it seems like the Lord wants to work with everybody. I mean, He loves everybody, whether they love Him back or not, for sure. I've watched people that didn't serve God, and yet it was like God had assigned angels to them to make sure they arrived at 35 or 40 or 50 when they could come to serve God. I think the Lord is really working a lot more with us than we have any idea, and cares about us much more than we realize. When we operate in these spiritual gifts, it's not about how smart we are, how spiritual we are. It's about being yielded to the Holy Spirit. Did y'all ever get to see Catherine Kuhlman or any of the Catherine Kuhlman meetings? She is a weirdo. I mean, she was just out there. there was just nothing else in her mind, you know. She didn't care about anything else except letting God move through her, and so he did.
Right.
And so sometimes, you know, our intellect gets in the way. I'm ready to start figuring it out. Well, you know, it's like this, and so it's going to work this way. And the Lord goes, no, we're going to do it different than that. People ask, well, how do you pray for people with back problems? Well, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, how do you pray for blind people? Well, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's going to be different every time. You just have to go by whatever. Well, what do you say to somebody that is, I don't know, the Lord hadn't told me yet what to say. Maybe I won't say anything. Maybe you won't tell. I don't know. But it's so cool to watch God begin to move and to watch God do these things. College girl came up to us for prayer at a meeting. Nice looking lady, not crying or anything. You know, well, how can we pray for you? Oh, I don't know. Life is really good. I just need some prayer, I guess, and just so I can serve God better. Okay, we'll pray for you for that. And as we begin to pray for her, the Lord put a word in my mind. It was the word abandoned. And so I told her. I said, so what I hear the Lord saying is abandoned. And immediately, man, she starts boo-hooing and crying. And it's like, what's that about? I won't tell you the whole story, but there was something going on in her life, and she felt abandoned, but she didn't even realize that she was feeling abandoned, see, from her parents. And yet God knew there's a wound down there, and I want to get to it, Lord says, and I know how. And sometimes folks will come up to, well, I got a back problem, and the Lord will start doing something totally different. Because the Lord says, yeah, I know you got a back problem, but there's something else that's a lot more important, and I want to work with you on it. And so when we pray for folks, we have just gotten used to the idea that almost everybody we pray for, God is going to touch them some way. They may not do exactly what they want or what we expect, but God's going to do something. We just came back from a healing tour of Uganda and Tanzania. Our team, we got together and tried to be conservative about the estimates. We think we prayed for about 1,500 people who were sick in some way. And we think that probably 12 or 1,300 of those people are healed. But yeah, amen. This is part of this idea of being intentional. There was a bishop's wife there who had malaria, and she had a torn rotator cuff in her shoulder. They invited us over to their house, and after dinner, she asked us to gather around her and pray for her. We did. And this is what's funny about this. I knew this gift of faith was operating. That if I prayed for her, she'd be healed from malaria. But I didn't have anything about that shoulder. You know, as far as I was concerned, can't help you, lady. But there was another guy that I found out afterwards that had that same gift of faith. Boy, if I can just touch her shoulder, I know God's going to heal her shoulder. Well, guess what? She was healed of malaria, and she was healed from her shoulder. And we got an email a couple of weeks later about, I'm still healed from malaria. I mean, you know, God set her free. She was still healed from her shoulder, too. But I didn't have a piece of that. So we just have to let God move and do what we want.